All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Thursday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Daw, Matthew Jacobs hanging out here with you. Matthew, we're going to kind of dive into some post-spring talk. Obviously, the transfer portal is clearly on the minds of a lot of different people right now. Not a lot of movement for the Tigers, though, in terms of what they are doing in terms to get some recruits in here through the transfer portal. So we're going to kind of take a dive into some post-spring discussion while this portal kind of takes a lull here. Obviously, spring game's over. We move along to the off season, and I think there's no better time to talk about position group battles and position groups individually than now. Today on the episode, instead of talking about quarterbacks, which you and I have kind of talked about at length, I would say at this point, we're going to dive into some comparisons between different groups on opposite sides of the ball. So for today's episode, we're going to do wide receivers and defensive backs, including safeties as well. We'll start here at the top with wide receivers. I think that you have to be excited about Auburn's receiver core. I know that there are some people out there that have made some negative / questionable comments about what the Tigers could be in that room this season. Hugh Freeze has said as much, saying that they need to continue to develop there. But they've got some promising guys, especially when it comes to looking at the individual players that they have with height and physicality. We'll start with Coy Moore. Matthew, who I think as far as, you know, baseline consistency goes, he may be one of the better receivers that Auburn has on roster, at least right now. I know that there's a lot of questioning about, you know, this room getting alignment correctly, getting their scheme correctly, getting their routes correct. But I think Moore, as far as what he did throughout the spring, he was solid. He wasn't like a standout, like, oh, this guy's going crazy. But he was somebody that I, watching in the spring, felt like kind of held things over from last year. Will there be improvement? I would assume so, but Moore definitely one of the more consistent receivers, I would say, throughout the spring. Also as one of Auburn's first team starters on top of that.
Yeah, with the injuries that were incurred there, there was a few guys with some ankles and things like that. Mm-hmm. It really sounded like Coy was the guy that could take the top off of defense. He and Fair were considered to be the two fastest of the guys. So he definitely has hands. We know that. And you've got to assume there's going to be some improvement over the year, you know, the offseason or whatnot. And this offense is going to kind of be more built for him, you know, the RPO, being able to throw that. And I think he fits in the slot pretty well if he does that route too. Anywhere you put him, he could be fast. But, I mean, I don't know how much you use him, because there might be a chance they bring Batty up into the four set and make him catch some passes, because he's going to be the quick twitch guy.
Yep. As far as his role with the team next season, it's going to be interesting, like you said, because of the people surrounding him at that slot spot. And then also because of the height that's surrounding him. Can Auburn work him as an outside receiver, you know, as often as they did last year, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think they did it a ton last season either. So where he ends up will be interesting, but he's one of the more, I would say, well-rounded receivers. And again, like you said, he's got that speed as well. Camden Brown is a guy that was suffering from an ankle injury for, I believe, most of the spring. And at towards the end of it, he was trying to get back into things. He ended up, I believe, and I wrote about this over at auburndaily.com, I believe he was working with the second team for a couple of practices in a row. But this is somebody, Matthew, that at 6'4", I think Freeze is very excited about. Probably not going to say as much to the media because he probably doesn't want to give away what he's got there in Camden Brown. But this is a guy, like you said, somebody that could probably go up and get you one-on-one balls. Not necessarily take the top off, but he's somebody that can go get you a jump ball downfield. I'm excited to see what this kid can do fully healthy. We got to see it in flashes last season. Can Auburn get him the ball as consistently as they want to? I don't know. But Camden Brown is somebody, despite an injury, I think most fans are still very high up on.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that he was that injured. It's just one of those guys, as a sophomore, you go, okay, we've got something here. He's special. Why show everybody in spring what we've got? He's a TO type guy. He doesn't have that speed that you think is going to – it's deceptive speed. How about that? We'll say it that way.
Yeah.
But he has a wingspan on him. It's like my wings. It's like 84 inches, isn't it? Something like – it's incredible. And he can catch everything that gets near him, which is a premium in this receiver core. And I think not being on the field is why, you know, ESPN senior college football writer Heather Dinch made that comment about we need to be patient with these wide receivers. But considering that a lot of these guys that we're talking about are sophomores or are transfers in, and considering the fact that the quarterback pretty much bounced the ball to them most of spring training. So they were basically picking it up like it was a bowling ball in the lane. You got to give him a little bit of a break here, but Kahneman is one of those guys who's going to be, has the opportunity to be an all SEC type receiver. If not this year, the next. He's got that kind of talent.
Camden Brown, somebody I think fans should still be very excited about, despite not seeing a ton of him throughout spring. Jay Fair is somebody that I've got I've personally got a bet with somebody on how many catches Jay Fair will have this year. Loser wears a t-shirt with a stat line on it. We won't get too deep into that on today's episode, but Jay Fair, he's got speed. He should be fun to watch, I think, in a Hugh Freeze style offense. Does he get more targets just simply because of that? I'm not sure, because like you said, despite some injuries, Auburn's still got a lot of different guys that they can work with, and I just don't know if he's going to get as many opportunities as some people may think. What are your thoughts on Jay Fair? I've not gotten to talk to you about him.
Well, the speed's there, the talent's there, but I just don't see him in the H position, which is where he's going to be listed at on the depth chart. He's sitting behind, Javaris Johnson. Yep. I just don't see him taking too many snaps away, if for no other reason than Javaris is a really good blocking wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a premium placed on that in this offense as well. If he does get on the field, I think he is a threat. But once again, you're looking at a sophomore with not a lot of experience. And we don't know who's going to be throwing to him. If you come out of this spring, we're going to assume right now everything is going to sit the way it sits and nothing is done in the portal at all. If you come out with Robbie Ashford in the fall, I think Fair's stock goes down a long way because you're going to want to have blocking receivers on the field.
You mentioned Javaris Johnson, next guy up here, somebody that was valuable for the Tigers last season, to say the least, leading receiver in that room. What do you think Javaris Johnson coming out of spring? What do you think the expectations are for him this season?
Expectation-wise, for me, it really depends on how much Nick Mardner plays, because these receivers they've shown during spring they can put him anywhere. You know, technically, Mardner is sitting in the X position. He's behind Camden Brown, which just talked about. But once again, redshirt senior, got some experience, made some huge catches in his past. So maybe he takes a few snaps away from Javaris as well. And then you have the starting three that, you know, you basically bring out Brown, Moore, Mardner, and Rivaldo Fairweather on there. So I don't know. Jay Fair and Johnson both kind of seem to me like they might be down losing some snaps. But once again, both those guys, if you put them on there, you're not having a huge drop in talent levels or ability to catch the football there. Auburn is really deep at receiver.
6'6", 210 pounds. You mentioned him, Nick Mardner, transfer in from Cincinnati, formerly at Hawaii. One of the first things I noticed whenever I walked out for the first spring practice is whenever I saw the receiver room walk by, I'm like, it is clear that guy is every bit of 6'6". I mean, that is a dude out there for Auburn and Nick Mardner. He is somebody that I'm intrigued with. As you know, we've talked about it. I've talked about it on the show before. Hugh Freeze's thing is big-bodied receivers, right? Does Nick Mardner become one of those guys in a long line of Hugh Freeze receivers where you just see him develop these really tall dudes into really, really good pass catchers?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you also got to take into account there's not a whole lot of developing to Mardner at this point. He's a stud. If you catch him running by you, it feels like a freight train. He is a big dude. I'm 6'7", and he's close to my size. So, and he's got speed to burn too. It's pretty amazing how he's worked his craft. Like I said, I kind of teased my little starting lineup there at Camden Brown, Nick Mardner, and Coy Moore with Rivaldo on the end there. That's going to be a pretty tough receiving core for defensive backs to take on. And then you got to worry about Jarquez out of the background. I mean, so you really start getting down the list and you start wondering about, you know, your redshirt sophomore Landon King and sophomore Amari Kelly. What do you do with those guys? Where do you see them fitting in?
Let's talk about them. So Landon King is somebody that I think, honestly, if we had to kind of give these guys stock reports, Landon King's one of the few that I think are probably had a down spring in terms of stock. It's not necessarily anything that he did for the first few weeks. As spring went on, This is something that several other outlets noted. I noted, we all got to see it. He was dropping a lot. He was dropping a lot of passes during practice, at least in the viewing period that we get as the media. It's not very long. Last season with Brian Harsin, we got about 20 minutes with Freeze. It was somewhere between 50 to 40 this season in the time that we were able to see the offense and defense work. King, everybody's been excited about his size, what he could pan out to be because of that. We haven't really seen it up until this point. Auburn didn't utilize him hardly at all last year. The expectation was, oh, with Hugh Freeze, maybe you can do something with him this year. He, I believe, was pondering entering the transfer portal and just completely stepping away from Auburn. If I'm not mistaken, he kind of made that move and then decided to come back. And right now, the Tigers have several other pieces in this room that are just as tall as him, probably just as fast. And so I wonder where King ends up on this depth chart, if at all.
If at all is the key word in that statement. I think if he's one of those guys that could see the writing on the wall as well. The interesting thing about Landon is that if he's on the move, he can catch the ball. If he has one of those routes where he has to stop and catch the ball, that's when he has the problem. It's usually the reverse. It's kind of odd. If you get him on a slant or something where he's going, he can make some catches. But if you ever like do the don't know what it's called in this offense, I'm going to say a wide receiver screen where they just throw it down the line, you know, quick punch to the wide receiver there. He's going to drop that ball. He dropped it. I've seen him drop it at least four or five times now. So with the competition and talent that's in this room, I'm not sure there is a spot on this roster for Landon. And somebody's going to get a good receiver for their program that's not going to be in the SEC.
Amari Kelly is a receiver, freshman, former three-star, or was a freshman last season, rather, former three-star, heading into a sophomore season now. I didn't really hear a ton about Amari Kelly. I mean, we saw him in practice consistently in pace drills, you know, just be what he should be, which is just one of those kind of tweener receivers at 6 feet. He didn't look bad. He didn't look great. I saw him work a bunch of different out routes, I'll say that, during spring. Outside of that, not a whole lot to note about Kelly other than the fact that it just seems like Auburn with their first team offense is probably going to be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, you also got to consider we've got some incredible wide receiver prospects that we're talking to and that might commit for us right now. And you start thinking those into this bunch, once again, with Landon King and Amari, you've kind of got to go, well, we're sophomores now. We got several years we could go offer somebody else. I'm not pushing anybody out of the Auburn program, but by any means, I'm just, boy, it's going to be hard to leapfrog, you know, Malcolm Johnson, Javaris Johnson, Coy Moore, Camden Brown, Nick Martin. It's going to be hard to leapfrog these guys. There's such a huge drop off in, I'm going to say, talent when you go beyond that list that I really don't know. I don't see how Amari or Landon, either one, break into the lineup and even get snaps.
Well, there's one guy that's definitely going to crack into the rotation. He's your guy, somebody that we've been very high on, somebody that you've had the pleasure of interviewing and having conversations with, Rivaldo Fairweather, transfer in from FIU. Man, Auburn basketball and football getting really solid pieces from Florida International this offseason. So shout out the Panthers there. But Fairweather, I mean, you said it before we started recording. He could lead the team in catches this season. He could be that dude. Tell me what you expect out of him. Are you expecting an all SEC type of year from this guy?
Definitely. And FIU, I think, is our farm team at this point. Rivaldo Fairweather is going to be the one guy. If you take out Jarquez Hunter, and even if you leave him in, but let's say there's two players that make the NFL draft off this offense currently as it stands, it would be Rivaldo and Jarquez Hunter. And Rivaldo goes higher, I believe, this year. If they can find somebody who can get him the ball and watch him move. Interesting story, by the way, I'll get back to in a minute about how Hugh Freeze saw him the first time. But Rivaldo is one of those guys, he's going to go first or second round. It's either going to be after this year or after next year. He's built for the NFL. He has speed. I mean, he's almost as fast and quick as you were talking about, like Mardner. He's just an overgrown wide receiver. And they're saying he loves the contact. He does love the contact. He loves to hit. But it's interesting, 2 years ago when Hugh Freeze was obviously at Liberty, they played FIU, and Rivaldo Fairweather made one catch directly in front for 27 yards. I can't remember exactly, catch and run. And Hugh Freeze noticed him immediately. He was like, with that size and that speed down the road, I'm going to find a way to you. And here they are. That was his first pick. As he came to Auburn, Hugh Freeze's first guy that he talked to, the first guy he sent the offensive coordinator to go talk to, and it ended up being the first pick out of the portal for Auburn. That was how important Rivaldo Fairweather is to this offense. And it's at a position where Freeze said in one of his last pressers, the tight end position in this offense is probably the most difficult position in this offense. Mm. And Rivaldo's football IQ is off the charts. So he is an all-around guy. He is a first or second round draft pick after 1 year at Auburn. He's going to be all SEC. He's going to be through which Auburn succeeds this year.
I think that he's going to be the man, but like you said, if they can get him the ball, and I have hope that they can. I mean, especially if they pick up somebody in the portal that we're excited about, I'm like, oh, it'll be really fun to see that connection there. But Auburn's got to find ways to get him touches, especially with some erratic passers, I would say, currently on roster. So that's the wide receiver room, plus Rivaldo Fairweather, who, like you said, is essentially an overgrown wide receiver and also is probably going to be the dude in this year's room. So if you guys have any thoughts on what you expect out of any of these players, you can leave that in the YouTube comments below. You can also hit us on the socials at the Auburn Daily on Twitter. I want to move along now to not Donovan Kaufman, not just yet, defensive backs and safeties. For the Auburn Tigers, going to switch to that room, the opposite of the pass catchers there. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty. It's really easy nowadays to catch viruses when you least expect it, just browsing online like you normally would. It's also really easy to get exploited by hackers if you are not careful. NordVPN can help you out, change your IP address, make you harder to track, securing your privacy. And today, NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. So just check out the link in the episode description today to pick that up. Thank you so much to NordVPN for sponsoring today's episode. All right, Matthew, defensive backs, safeties. We're going to dive into them here, starting with a dude that you are very excited about. I think a lot of Auburn fans are very excited about. Kayan Lee, the incoming freshman. Man, every single time I got to watch this kid in practice, I either said it aloud to somebody I was standing with or just thought it. He does not look like a freshman at all.
No, he doesn't. And I guess we're going with corners. You said safeties, but I guess we're starting at corners here. Bit me off a little bit there. But yeah, Kayan Lee looks like he could go to the combine. We've mentioned that before. And the combine right now and outdo any cornerback that's going to be in the combine. He looked really good on A-Day against a tall receiver. He made a good play there. But I think what Auburn did with him on A-Day was probably the smartest thing he possibly could do. And I'm going to say something here that a lot of people aren't going to like. He used his physicality and his physical ability, of which he has tons of, to catch up on every play. Every play, all the completed passes were against Kayan Lee on A-Day. He was out of position on nearly every play. He came from behind, had to catch up, make ground to knock the ball in Mardner's hand, or he had been beat on that play. He was out of position just constantly and used his physical abilities to catch up. So I think that's great because that kind of gives you – it was good for Nehemiah Pritchett to see that because you want Nehemiah Pritchett to come in and be your starter and have Kayan as his backup. Kayan can switch back from both sides. He's great. He's wonderful. But he still needs it. He has all the physical abilities in the world. And he's going to be a world-class guy. But he needs the SEC experience. And I think you would agree with that.
I would agree with that as well. And he's raw, but he's got, like you said, the physical tools to really pan out to something special. Can Wesley McGriff, somebody that has had success developing some really good corners for Auburn in the past, can he get him up to speed in year one? I don't know if year one, but you're looking at somebody that can project out to be certainly a high-end draft pick if things go well. So Kayan Lee, somebody that I think most people are very impressed with coming out of spring, something that I don't think Auburn fans really expected whenever they picked him up, but now we're starting to see that kind of unfold. A guy that we have been very pleased with, we have seen out on the field, and we do expect to continue to play well this year, DJ James. Transferred in from Oregon last season, was the best corner on roster, probably one of the best cornerbacks in the SEC. Some Alabama and Georgia fans may disagree with that, but I think that he's certainly up there, and he had another solid spring.
Alabama and Georgia fans are going to disagree with everything except for how much they hate us and each other. But yeah, DJ Ames is a starter. He is a beast. He and Nehemiah are the reason we started talking about this defensive backfield being probably one of the best in the country. If not, you know, the second or third best in the SEC, second, third best in the country, which kind of, you know, falls along the same lines here. He is a beast. He's great at what he does. The senior transfer, got experience. Both these guys, you know, Nehemiah and DJ James, senior experience in the SEC, looked good. They both probably should have went pro last year and would have been picked up. So to have them both back is a boom to this offense, this defense, excuse me.
I think that the tandem of DJ James and Nehemiah Pritchett may be one of the best cornerback duos in the SEC. Do you agree about Pritchett?
Yeah, I really do. He didn't play much on A-Day because they wanted to kind of showcase Kay and Lee and get Kay and Lee a little bit more experience. But after A-Day, he spoke and you could tell his confidence. Speaking of Nehemiah, you could see his confidence. You could see where he was at mentally, that he's dedicated to the Auburn program. He knows he's going to be the starter, which was a concern, I think, of you and our both, that Kay and Lee would run him off. But once you saw Kay and Lee play, you go, well, he's great, and he's going to be one of the best ever. He's going to be – I put him right there. I think he's going to look like Tyrann Mathieu. That's what he reminds me of. He reminds me of the Honey Badger, and that's high praise. But right now, Nehemiah and NDA James they're the men, and it is the best. I think it's the best duo in the SEC. I think the defensive backfield as a whole is the first or second best in the SEC, which, of course, makes them first or second best in the country.
The man that decided to – I don't want to say screw around too much on punt returns last year, but definitely made it a spectacle. He made fun out of it. Keontae Scott, nickelback, transferred in from JUCO last year. I believe it was Snow College or something cool like that. Scott, you know, at times played well last season, at times decided to have a little too much fun on punt returns in close games. What do you expect out of Keontae as the nickelback, so to speak, in this room? He should be the guy that gets the nod, right?
He should be. You say it's like one of those things where I want you, if you're going to make a mistake, to do it 10,000 miles an hour. That's Keontae Scott. He tried too hard last year. I think he's settled in. I think he's got good head on his shoulders. I hope that at nickel he becomes who he's supposed to be, junior transfer, all the talent in the world. So that's more of a wishful thinking. I hope he will get the start. I believe he starts over Donovan Kaufman. He will get the start over Donovan, and we'll see how that goes because Donovan's going to push him. Kaufman's going to push him.
Final two cornerbacks here, and one of them may end up not honestly playing much cornerback. JD Rhyme and Jalen Simpson. Simpson got safety playing time last season. May slide in there again this season. Can also play as Auburn's third corner if they would like to. And then Rhyme, somebody that had a little bit of injury problems throughout the spring. I am excited to see what Simpson does, if Auburn can use him kind of as that hybrid, maybe split time between those two positions. Not quite sure what to expect out of Rhyme in this rotation.
I have Jalen Simpson as my starting free safety. Mm-hmm. I think that's where he's going to be. He's got the talent there. He's played there. He likes to hit a little bit too much to be a cornerback, in my opinion. If he wants to play next level, he's probably going to end up having to be a free safety. So that's where I have him at. So I think your four cornerbacks after Pritchett and James are going to be Kay and Lee third, and then Rhyme fourth. Now, if Rhyme's okay with that or not, I don't know. But that's where it sits right there. I'm going to go ahead and take Jalen on my list out of the cornerback room at this point because I didn't see enough, as we're going to go down the list of safeties in just a second, I didn't see enough to make me feel otherwise. I think you're going to, like I said, it's going to be – Simpson's going to have to be a safety.
He needs to play safety, and I still don't understand why Auburn's roster doesn't have him listed at safety. They still have a list at cornerback, and I get that's what he's been up until this point in his career, but based on his PFF grades and based on what we saw, the man, like you said, should be playing free safety for a variety of reasons, and yeah, I think the athleticism comes with that too.
Yes, and from what I'm hearing from NFL scouts, if he wants to play at the next level, it's probably going to be a safety. It won't be a corner.
So speaking of safety, let's go ahead and get into that. You mentioned him earlier, Donovan Kaufman. Somebody that's been solid for the Tigers up until this point in his career, the former Vanderbilt player. What do we think about Kaufman? Where does he slide into this rotation here at safety?
I don't think he does. Honestly, unless enough people leave, I don't think Hoffman does. I think he's going to be stuck at probably backup nickelback for now, or if he doesn't take that role. But as far as my safeties go, like I said, Jalen's going to be starting, and then Zion Puckett's going to be the other guy. I don't see – there's just so much talent. And like I said, unless you see two or three of these guys leave, I don't think that Kaufman can break back into the safety lineup, you know, if we're going to distinguish between nickelback and safety.
So you've got Kaufman at backup nickel. You've got Puckett, and then also another guy that I think could find his way into the rotation, Marquise Gilbert. Here, what do you expect out of him?
Marquise Gilbert looked great on A-Day. His feet looked great. He looked in position. He looked like he knew what he was doing. He laid the wood down a couple of times. He wasn't afraid to take contact. Here again, though, there's one guy that crawled up my list, that kind of snuck up my list, would be, you know, the Caleb Wooden. And I don't know if that bumps Marquise down the list because Caleb played so well. On A-Day, he should have had an interception, but he knocked the ball down at the line of scrimmage, and he read that play beautifully. He came up, and I was like, boy, he's getting out of position. He don't know what he's doing. And he played that as perfectly as you could play. It looked like a senior transfer safety back there. So Caleb is definitely – Wooden is definitely moving up. Marquise is still my number two right now. I've got to leave it there and just say that, but – I wouldn't be surprised if Gilbert sees the writing on the wall. And once again, he's someone who decides to try his luck somewhere else, and Kalen Wooden steps into that position.
You mentioned Wooden potentially stepping into that spot. The other three cornerbacks, want to kind of get to them quickly here. Austin Ausberry, Caden Bridges, and Craig McDonald. Out of those three guys, who do you see getting the most playing time this upcoming year?
Judging from A-Day in spring?
Yeah.
Austin Ausberry looked the best. Mm-hmm. Of all the safeties we really got to sit and look at and have a long look at, Austin Ausberry definitely looked the best. So I would think he would get the most playing time beyond Simpson and Puckett. I think, in my opinion right now, if they were to start anybody and it wasn't Bridges or Wooden, you know, if they're not in the conversation, if you wanted to start anybody and put Simpson back out to corner, it would be Austin Ausberry that would move in the starting lineup opposite of Puckett.
Final question here, Matthew, about this defensive back room. I know a lot of people are excited about some of the individual pieces on this unit. Is this a top five unit in the SEC?
Yes, and definitely, easily, top three unit in the SEC. I'm going to move them ahead. A lot of people would put LSU, put us maybe fourth, like to have that argument. But I think this defense is going to be a top three SEC defense. So I would definitely have to put the defensive backfield and of course, we'll get into the linebackers and the defensive line that are a lot better than people get credit for. But they're all going to mesh together to make this a top three defensive backfield in the SEC and in the country.
It may sound a little cliche to say about like a unit or a team or whatever have you. This defensive back room has a really nice blend of experience and youth that has a lot of talent and athleticism still. I think they've got a really, really good thing going for them with guys like Ausberry and Lee, and then you've got more experienced guys like Simpson, Pritchett, and James. I think that there's going to be a lot of good football played in that defensive backfield, I think, this upcoming season.
And it's so great because you're going to be able to scheme your linebackers and defensive line now in your edge position to really get after the quarterback and cause havoc. It's perfect for a Ron Roberts defense.
I'm excited to see what it looks like. I'm excited to see what Roberts is able to do for the Tigers to improve on what was just a porous defense at times last year. So that's our preview of the wide receivers and defensive backs. We'll be continuing to break down, you know, if players enter the portal from any of these positions, if Auburn adds players from the transfer portal at these positions, you can check all of that out over at auburndaily.com. And I think that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. You can follow the show on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. You can follow us on Twitter at @LanceDaw_ and then @_MatthewJacobs_ on Twitter. You can also check us out over on Facebook. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel before you head out. If you're listening on podcast, make sure to leave us a review and a follow there as well. We will see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.